Hey, this is Matt Groening, sitting in for writer John Schwartzwelder, who never comes to these DVD records. This is episode 101, Rosebud, first aired October 21st, 1993.
This is Dave Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
This is David Silverman, supervising director.
This is Wes Archer, the director
of this fine episode.
This is really a great-looking episode, guys, and we do. We have our directors to thank for this.
Thank you, thank you. So, surprisingly, coincidentally, it kind of looks a lot like Citizen Kane, and that was a happy accident.
Yeah, thank you, Orson. We had no intention of... None of us had ever seen or heard of Citizen Kane until after this came out. By the way, this is from The Wizard of Oz.
You have an amazing story about this.
Well, what they're actually singing is "All We Own, We Owe."
Right.
Which was sort of a political statement back then about the depression and the difficulties of the working man.
They actually sang that in The Wizard of Oz.
And that's my understanding, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, you heard it here, and it's got to be true. It's on a disc.
This was the very first show that I executive produced and show ran, by the way, and I had such a blast doing it because it's such a rich story. It's such an emotional story. We really, I think, get into Mr. Burns almost more than almost any other episode we've ever done, to see his background and to see a true emotional element in him and what sort of went wrong in his life, or from his point of view, what went right.
Right. And we get a glimpse of George Burns, for that matter.
So where George Burns came from?
I always thought they were related.
And I was real excited, to be doing this show, and it was such a great complex one. And I spent an enormous amount of time on post production of it, fooling around with the timing, speeding things up, slowing things down, really working with the audio tracks and everything, and doing lots and lots of edits because I loved the story so much, and I was also so excited because it was the very first one. And then every episode after that, I completely lost interest and just phoned it in.
Now, see, that's classic David Merkin, ladies and gentlemen. He goes through this whole long thing, and then at the very last second bails on his own story. It's great.
He's very sincere that it's like, I'm just kidding.
And you're wound up going, really? So that's the inside story. Oh, excellent.
It was all true until the end. And that's also a very famous shot of Mr. Burns coming out of the cake. I think probably second only to him flying over the bed, Smithers' bed, when he comes out of the cake. It's a very, very popular, intriguing, titillating shot.
Which still gets us very excited. So
it does.
Thank
We're
you gonna, very much.
We freeze-frame it on that here, and you can do that at home as well.
Or you can freeze-frame this if you'd like to watch Homer getting smacked. Now, Wes, did you find this one of the more complex shows that you had to direct by this point?
Well, there's a lot of jokes in this show and a lot of locations, a lot of characters. I think almost all the characters of Springfield might make an appearance in this episode.
I think this is one of the... we had done other ones that were involved, but this seemed to be one of the more... As we started getting more inventive and more involved in shows, this is one of the more challenging ones, which was really great because it came out really well. You did a fabulous job with this. And kind of encouraged us. Kind of encouraged us to work harder.
Yeah, we get very spoiled as writers on the show because we just start to assume that the animators can do anything. I mean, and so we just really stretch our imagination as far as possible. And then David and somebody will come and say, hey, this is really great, but can we cut this down a little bit? There are people dropping dead over at Film Roman, And then I'll say, well, one or two deaths is acceptable per episode for me. That's like the quality level that I like to see. Because if someone isn't seriously ill, I think the quality suffers.
I think that was the first time we had both Marge and Lisa doing the murmur together.
That's right. That was you saw like a little piece of Marge coming out in Lisa.
You had a nice shot, Wes, where you were behind Homer's head, following Marge as he sat down and panned behind him, which I thought was a really nice shot, and I'm going to steal it for upcoming episodes.
My favorite thing here is that Homer thinks that cool comedy is in the form of Bob Hope. That's what his reference is. He's really up to date that you wear a suit jacket and hold a golf club while you do your comedy. again, the most depressing party
Reagan.
Ever.
Yeah.
And there are some presidents, some still with us, and most not.
Yeah, two dead, two living.
At the time of this recording.
Yes.
That was the first George Bush caricature. A little more grotesque than our later one, which was a little, you know, more refined.
And we saw the Hirschfeld style,
yeah,
Mr. Burns, with even the mean and his hair.
Yeah, I always would do the... I'm a big Hirschfeld fan, so I always sort of took it upon myself to do the Hirschfeld-like caricatures. There it is again.
There it is.
Several fine young men who I'm sure are gonna go far.
Oh, that's right, the guest star of the Ramones. They were hilarious.
Yes, and obviously Mr. Burns is excited about the Ramones. The Ramones were fantastic. They could not have been more excited to do the show. They are gigantic, gigantic, obsessive Simpsons fans, to a point that even after they did the show, they kept calling to ask questions about the show. They sort of tried to plug into it and wanted to get, like, inside information. And it was the kind of nerdy questions that we generally can't answer, you know, where they think that we have meaning behind things that we don't, you know. It was stuff like... So I think I disappointed them quite a bit when they would call up and ask questions.
Wes, did you do the caricatures of them?
You see, that was Marge's gift. I like her.
Yeah, it's animating musicians isn't the easiest, but that was funny. Joey Ramone doesn't move a whole bunch when he performed. You know, laughing is also difficult to animate.
Well, Wes, again, you did such a stunning job on this show because it has such great lighting in so many places, so many great angles. I mean, it really, you know, you really did seem to be inspired by Citizen Kane and throughout the entire episode, and it just blew us away when we saw it.
There's a shot coming up that's great because they're walking in and out of shadow, and I love the fact they're in complete black silhouette. This is coming up in the next sequence. But first, we have this hilarious sequence.
It's all going wrong here. And there was just a puppy run over in the parking lot, if you hadn't seen that, which is perfect thing you want right before you go on into comedy.
I love this setup, a little cheeky.
This is probably our finest moment here.
Exactly.
Sophisticated comedy at its best.
I love the timing on Burns' expressions.
Dan does a great job of getting hit on the head there. And I love these kind of evil, robotic-type police SWAT people that just beat the hell out of the crowd for no reason.
They're always fun.
Wiggle my bare butt in public again.
I'd like to believe that this time.
And Homer, of course, even though everybody at the party was seriously injured, he's only concerned that he didn't do well on stage.
I know you're discouraged, but please don't deny the world your fat can.
Don't worry, that lump on his head is very disturbing.
Yes, it is. I just can't keep my eyes open.
Technically, Homer should always have that lump on his head. You know, it's like what he's always going through.
Yeah.
And again, you know, this into shadow and into light, just was brilliantly done, Wes.
And I love the way you've animated him lamely. It's incredibly pathetic.
We had a lot of fun in this episode with Mr. Burns' lack of strength. It comes up again later when he's confronting the baby, yeah.
Well, at the time we were directing these, I think a lot of the animation had, TV animation had more comic strip style staging, and I think we were really trying to move the camera around a lot more, and of course looking at Orson Welles' film was inspiring.
Trying to get away from just the basic proscenium flat space and be more cinematic.
And again, here you can see there's our favorite Hitler, of course.
Of course, Hitler
shows up on the show.
The show
once
is
in a
really
while.
Packed full of a lot of stuff.
Well, it sure is.
This is all historically accurate, everybody, by the way. A lot of research went into this episode.
You don't need to read a book, just watch The Simpsons.
And in case you ever wondered how ice gets to your local store.
More men on this expedition. If you can think of a better way to get ice, I'd like to eat it.
Well, I don't know how she'd get it either, for that matter.
Hey, Apu, this bag of ice has a head in it.
It's a difficult line to say. Nancy did very well.
Heady goodness.
Hey, it's a teddy bear.
We had various other things that the bear went through that were taken out for taste reasons. It got even darker than even Hitler. It involved the Kennedy assassination. It was involved somehow in the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
And we did remove that because we try and have some level of taste, not much, but a little.
Well, we have to remember the end, the future exploits. There are a couple that were cut out. We should make mention of because they're really hilarious. And I'm sorry we had to cut them for time. Another insight.
By the way, Bear Suit Smithers will be available in another 3 weeks.
Perhaps the most valuable whittle bear in the world could be anywhere. Could be in your.
This is again a very. I really love the writing in this sequence, and again, so much of this is John Swartzwelder. You know, we all work and write on the show. The vast majority of the producers' names that you see are all writers on the show. But John is of a level that I just love to work on a script with him because we'll all work it out together and do the beats. He'll often come in with a fantastic story with an enormous amount of beats that he's already worked out. So we don't even have to work on the story that long. Then you send him off and he comes back with a script that is just such a delight to read and needs so generally so little work from the rest of us at this point. And he has such a point of view that's great.
So that whole sequence before is just all Swartzwelder, like it's the writing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we went to a lot of trouble to set this up, and again, Wes did a great job, and so that Homer would finally realize that the bear was in his midst. And this is a great fall. There's this little moment right there where I really like that, where he's up in air, up in the air for that one moment. You think he'll maybe recover.
I like the glints on the water.
Mr. Burns is bear, all right.
Well, Burns isn't getting this back, Chief, I can tell you that. He's got
another fine dream sequence of Homer.
Own recording studio. Do all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, onions, sesame.
That's what he would do with a recording studio, is record a commercial jingle, by the way.
Well, he and Barry Manilow, I guess.
Give him the bear that he cherishes so much.
I like that cut there because they're just laughing. We'd only see him start laughing.
It's one of my favorite readings of all time. Here's Homer.
He'll pay more money if he thinks the bear's in danger.
Here it is.
Yes, we'll send the eye.
And his lack of movement was a great one. Staring at.
And this was a nice moment where we saw that Marge could be kind of greedy too, and under the right circumstances.
That was a big laugh. I remember when we
it was. It was. Huge. It's fun to poke at her. Sometimes people think of her as too much of a goody two-shoes, so it was fun to tear that down a bit.
This is a great sight gag. Very well done.
I have this this cell of him after the money and the crown. My favorite is the crown.
I love his expression just before the crown hits.
This is really a satirical version of our negotiations every year with Fox, saying, oh, The Simpsons doesn't make that much money. We have to... I'm sure that'll survive. But...
It won't take him long to crack. This is a great gag, too. It's another Swartzwelder approach.
I gotta call Burns. Maybe I can still get that drink.
Dad, he's not a good negotiator.
No.
Right. That makes sense.
This leads to another cell that I quite like when he answers the door there. There's a great family cell right
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
What do you want? $1 million and 3 Hawaiian islands. Good ones, not the leper one.
Done. Now give me that bear.
Woohoo! I'm rich! Rich, I tells you! Here you go!
He's rich, I tells you. Is that a Swartzwelderism?
It is, which is basically a Popeye-ism.
Exactly.
If Swartzwelder had his way, everyone would talk like Popeye cartoons. And in real life, they would talk like Popeye cartoons.
Give me the bear.
It's another one of my favorite readings, too.
You know, I know it's been said before, but, you know, Harry Shearer is both Mr. Burns and Mr. Smithers. Yeah. And it's a fantastic performance by him throughout this episode with both those characters. Again and again, there's hilarious readings by particularly Smithers and really lovely emotional work in Mr. Burns. Like I said, again, I think to a depth that hadn't really been explored
right.
before. And again, you know, that Dan Castellaneta doing his own, you know, his Homer and he's doing his father. I mean, it's just amazing that his voice can do those changes. Yeah. When I first met Dan Castellaneta, he came in and was reading for me for a live-action show, and I was always a huge fan of his. And he told me he did Homer Simpson's voice. I didn't believe him because it's so different than his regular speaking voice, if you've ever heard it.
Sure.
And when he did it, it just floored me because it's just, you know, it's just such an ability that you just really don't see. Even with all the amazing talent in Hollywood, he's really, really extraordinary.
Yeah, now we come to the one of the most hilarious sequences ever done. Just the way this is funny in itself.
This is great. And I love the way they crouch up out of the way and freeze.
And this
very
line.
Early on, we decided that it would be funnier if Homer wore tidy whities.
It's a great look.
Comical boxer
perfect,
shorts.
It's
much better than polka-dotted shorts. Yeah.
Kind of a baby Huey shape, isn't it, Matt? I mean, there's a little bit of that.
Oh, this is one of my favorite moments in the entire history of the series.
Absolutely.
Eating the cheese.
I think I'm blind.
Good day to you.
Those three sentences.
It's great. Good day to you is perfect, yeah.
Unbelievable. I like the fact that he's just sort of lamely rolling this half-eaten donut.
I like the guy on the right, by the way. We've lost that character.
We've lost him. I love the fact that he's kind of like, Homer's his entertainment, so he brought popcorn. I also love this. I think this is pure Schwarzwelder as well.
It is, absolutely.
What makes it turn? Who cares?
The great thing is, who cares?
Who cares?
Somebody terribly being tortured to turn it.
This is another great movie.
I always loved it when I had a Lenny and Carl scene.
You enjoy doing Lenny and Carl?
Yeah, but definitely.
The laugh is great
exactly.
There. His box laugh is fantastic.
In the corner like that.
Taking Mr. Burns's money.
I don't hate you. I'm proud of you. You came.
And again, it's great to see Marge's hair. That it actually takes some work to keep it as high as it gets.
Exactly. It doesn't just come up like that. Oh, get the box.
He calls it boxy, by the way. And we've sold about 3 million of these boxes, Simpsons boxes. You can't use a regular one.
Exactly.
But this show has really marketed those brilliantly.
We haven't sold enough of those Barney knockoffs.
This was an early nasty shot at Barney.
Give me my bear, Simpson.
That's one of my favorite lines.
Poor Prince has to run from set to set, which is not easy for him.
But he accepted the challenge.
He accepted the challenge.
He's also one of our best characters. For the head-on shot, we usually don't do it. But for Burns, it works really well looking straight on at him. He looks very evil and very praying mantis-like.
You know, I love about these characters, you know, the design is so amazing that Matt originally came up with. I love the way they look from behind. They look very comical to me from behind. Whenever you see the back of their head, kind of like a three-quarter of the back of their head, it just really always just makes me laugh.
I can't draw the characters from that thing.
Is that right?
I can only draw them from three-quarter profile. So when I see them from behind, I go, wow, that's what they look like.
Well, Wes and I base it on the way we look from the back. We look pretty funny from the back.
Barney, leave me alone.
I put Barney in a lot of shows. I was a big fan of Barney, and there was always discussion among the group about who liked Barney and who didn't. I love Bart's position here, by the way. It cracks me up. It's
great.
It's really a cowering, craven kind of...
He holds the position the whole way.
He does. It's the perfect line to be beaten up for saying. I think anyone that says that line should be... For some reason, Mr. Burns figures he had to replace the programming himself.
I love the way Smithers sort of peeks in first.
Yes.
They wait for their laughs.
It's
about the same.
Another lovely cut on our fellow sitcoms.
Exactly.
We killed the sitcom, too.
We did.
We did.
We've slowly strangled the life out of it.
And it started there, folks.
People saw this and they went, they're right, they are bad, these sitcoms.
I love that line. Look who come to apologize. Is that a Schwarzwelder?
Yeah. Yes, I probably. Homer is fairly dim in this episode. His IQ is fairly flexible, and it hits some low notes in this one.
It perks up a little bit when his heart kicks in.
Yes.
You know, but
yes.
That's about the only thing that sort of props up the numbers.
He often gets it wrong. It took him a while to see the bear. He thinks the people are coming to apologize.
Schwarzwelder is really good at writing protest signs, by the way. And my favorite protest sign is in the episode against Itchy and Scratchy. In the middle of all these pro-censorship placards is one saying, bring back wagon train.
Which is basically a Schwarzwelder.
That's a look into Schwarzwelder's psyche, for sure. That entire mob, by the way, is a lot of what Wes was talking about how many people he had in this show, which is an enormous amount of work for an animator.
Yeah.
Especially for what we pay.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, that's right. It's great.
Yeah.
It will have to go down. I know this is an awkward time to bring it up.
Well, this photographer coming up is really hilarious.
This is very hilarious. It's just two shots were great.
Absolutely great.
It's very great the way you compose it, because you're not expecting anything from nowhere.
Schwarzwelder's things kind of exist in the 30s, and that's why there are photographers. He calls them paparazzo, but it's sort of an old-time photographer.
Yes, with the press on the side. And, of course, the line he's going to give right here.
This is a great...
What a scoop!
What a scoop. I think George Meyer was telling me that when Oh Brother, Where Art Thou came out, he said, it's a perfect John Schwarzwelder film. It just, you know, has hobos with bindles and people cooling pies on windowsills.
It's exactly. And if you ever see John Schwarzwelder, which he sort of makes sure that nobody does see him, he would fit right into that. He would fit perfectly into any Preston Sturgis, you know, world, wouldn't he?
Absolutely.
You would just cast him right into it.
Absolutely. I love that shot, too.
Sorry, sir. I don't have a pencil.
Don't worry. I'm sure I'll remember you.
It's a fantastic reading, which just completely communicates how Mr. Burns is not going to change.
I love this commentary on the adventure they just had.
A happy ending or a sad ending?
It's an ending. That's enough.
That's a great line from Marge.
Yeah. You should talk about the two things that were cut out.
But I can't help but wonder what the future holds for you.
The first one was that we see Washington, D.C. destroyed.
Of course.
And being invaded by troops from Canada.
That's right.
So I think, hey, look at this bear I found, eh? I think I'm going to take a whiz on the Washington Monument. And then there was another one in the future where you see a very noble-looking Homer, and the whole planet is overrun by giant redwoods and spotted owls who are pecking everybody's head.
That's right, that the redwoods and the owls had taken over and become very, very ominous. But instead we went with this kind of Planet of the Apes, Terminator-esque type ending.
This actually was one of the things that inspired me to do Futurama. Was watching that, I went, oh, cool, heads in jars. You know, hey, that's all, let's do that, you know. The future. I got really excited by this ending, you know. I wanted more of... The Adventures of Smithers the Robo Dog.
I love the fact that Smithers is the dog. It's so perfect.
I got the toy.
What toy exists for this?
Robo Burns with Smithers dog.
And is it well
Robo
made?
Dog. I haven't opened it.
Oh, okay. Please, yes. Do not open any of the Simpsons toys. They will fall apart, ladies and gentlemen. And they're made of toxic materials, and even the smell will kill you.
And you heard it here first.
They will not edit this out. Don't worry.